You're listening to Film Week on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Larry Mantle. So good to have you with us. We've been talking with our critics who've been observing physical distance, talking about their picks for what's available to watch in your home as movie theaters are closed. And of course, the other side of the closure of movie theaters and suspension of productions are the thousands and thousands of people who work in the entertainment industry who have seen their jobs temporarily suspended. I'd like to hear from you describing how the work that you do in the industry has been affected by the shutdown that's gone into play here. We're at 866-893-KPCC. If you're listening Friday live in our 11 o'clock hour, we'd love to have you call in and share with us how you're adapting to this and what's going on in your particular sector of the entertainment industry. You can also comment on our Film Week page at kpecc.org. Joining me, the co-editor-in-chief at Variety, Andrew Wallenstein, to just talk about how thoroughgoing an economic disaster this has been for the industry and the people that work in it. Andrew, thank you for joining us.
Good to be here.
Do we have any sort of precedent for this? I'm trying to recall whether 9/11 was much the same as this, or certainly it seems like this could last far longer than the shutdown after 9/11.
Yeah, I think it's the uncertainty here that is so unprecedented. In terms of how much time this is going to last, it's certainly going to be a matter of months at the very least. I think that much is clear. Really, if we're talking precedent, I think the closest thing I could come up with, and it's not that far long ago, was things like the writer's strike, which wasn't quite as broad an impact, but for a certain segment of the business, a pretty broad swath of the business, it was pretty devastating and did last for many months.
What's going to happen to the independent cinemas? I'm thinking not just about the Lemley, which earlier, last year was up for sale. There were concerns about whether those theaters were going to continue. They were finally taken off the market. But for some of those theaters that focus on independent films, they've got to be in particularly precarious shape.
Oh, it's the worst, and I've spoken to people from that community in recent weeks, and frankly, even before this crisis hit, things were not looking good. The so-called specialty film business, which saw some degree of a rebound at the end of 2019 as Oscar season was in place, but as 2020 has come in, it hasn't been good. This is only going to compound the problem, and I hate to be grim, it's hard to see how some of those businesses are going to last in the longer term. I'm hopeful that there will be a great surge of people going back to theaters of all kinds once this crisis ends, but I don't think that lifts the more macro concerns about the business, and it's tough.
I think there's going to be a lot of pent-up demand to go to movie theaters once we're through this health crisis. And I wouldn't be surprised to see it, particularly if the films are good that are coming out at that point, quite high attendance. I guess the challenge is getting to there.
Yeah, and it could be a matter of months. But, you know, I also want to sort of give you a countering narrative here, which is, and I'm talking about broadly about films, not just sort of the specialty film market, is what happens when particularly a younger generation of viewers is essentially trained to not see films in theaters and subsist on things like Netflix and get movies that might otherwise be only available in theaters to have a window in their own homes. Does that create a permanent state of affairs in terms of the expectation young viewers have about how they can get movies and where they're willing to see them? And so while I agree, I think we'll see certainly in the short term post-crisis a huge surge into theaters, I also fear the longer-term consequences of this crisis.
We're talking with co-editor-in-chief of Variety, the trade publication, Andrew Wallenstein. And I'm inviting those of you that work in the entertainment industry to share with us what's going on with your particular sector of the business. There's so many different aspects to this, and it's just helpful to get a sense of what's going on. Rick in Highland Park, you're on Air Talk. I understand you got shut down last night?
No, last Thursday.
Oh, last Thursday. Okay.
Yeah, at the end of production, we had a meeting at the beginning of production that day, and they talked about it. And then at the end of the night, they shut us down. Pardon me. And then we got a phone call yesterday. So I'm doing some gardening right now, so I'm like, oh.
Yeah, set it aside for a moment. Talk to us.
So we got a call yesterday from the production company saying that they were going to pay us 3 weeks' pay and then figure out what they're going to do from that point.
So 3 weeks' pay. And you mind sharing the name of the series?
Oh, it's Snowfall.
Snowfall, okay. So you're going to get paid for 3 weeks, and past that, presumably it stops?
Well, you know, they don't – obviously it's the unknown, so they're just kind of playing it day by day. So they're basing it on, because we normally work 10 to 12 hours a day, they're going to pay us for an 8-hour day for the next 3 weeks.
All right, Rick, we wish you well. Thanks so much. You can get back to your gardening now. Thank you for sharing what's going on. And it's good you're getting paid at least 3 weeks. I know for some people it's just absolute off a cliff financially with absolutely nothing. And, of course, in your case, who knows what happens after that. If you're listening live Friday, you work in the industry, how has this affected your job and your colleagues on the particular project on which you work? 866-893-KPECC. Andrew, what are the plan of the broadcast networks and of the streamers for how they're going to deal with series? Are they looking at doing episodes that would be tacked onto next season for broadcast, or delaying the release of complete seasons on streamers? What's the strategy?
Well, I think the short answer to that is all of the above. I think you're going to see lots of different networks and streamers do lots of different strategies. Keep in mind, you know, there was already concerns that there was going to be yet another strike later this year. And so to some degree, some networks and streamers have been preparing for, you know, the contingency of loading up on scripts and hopefully being able to forestall a shortfall of content that now is most certainly going to happen. So, I do think this is going to change the complexion of television, you know, 6 months and more down the road. It'll be interesting in particular to see what will happen with the traditional fall broadcast season, when we're used to seeing, you know, dozens and dozens of TV pilots that get made, and then, you know, maybe you'll see about 20 new shows come on the air and within a month or two. I've got to think you're going to see that that's not going to look as usual.
Is there a concern that when it comes to features, with holding off production on some of these tentpole films, that there's not going to be quality product available for whenever theaters reopen?
Clearly, the film side of the business is grappling with these issues as well. I think it's a less pressing issue than it is in the TV business, which is so much about volume. And just think about the sheer tonnage of original series that you see throughout, you know, 12 months. On the film side, I think the film business has already been moving to a place where there's been somewhat less product with each passing year. And to some degree, you could argue it's a good thing, you know, giving films enough space to sort of not be crowded by too many competitors on any given weekend. I'm not saying this is great for film business. I'm just saying it's not necessarily as urgent a problem as I think it is in the TV business.
We're talking with Andrew Wallerstein, who's Variety's co-editor-in-chief. I do want to remind you that it's our spring member drive, despite the fact we're not doing our typical on-air asking for financial support. They're just very, very brief announcements. We really need your help supporting Film Week right now for this kind of coverage of the economic impact of COVID-19 on such a huge employer here in Southern California. Please contribute at 866-888-5722. Thank you. Back in a minute. You're listening to Film Week on 89.3 KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle. We're checking in on what's happening in the entertainment industry, where IATSE, the trade union, is, I think, 120,000 of its members are not working right now. Andrew Wallenstein of Variety, is that right, over 100,000 IATSE members?
That is the current estimate.
So it's just, and that's just one union that we're talking about. The impact is extraordinary. Melissa in Claremont says the classical singing community is decimated right now with cancellations of secular and religious events. We've lost all our business. Yeah, and recording artists have fascinatingly been doing online concerts, even from their home. I saw John Legend was doing a concert where he was taking requests and doing it live on social media. So, Andrew, there are creative ways that artists are trying, even though they're not compensated for it, to stay connected with fans.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And I think also another industry that's been severely impacted back east is Broadway. Think about the massive impact there. And it's not so easy necessarily to put on a theater and stream it online. So there's only so much that can be done sometimes.
And the people that are actually on stage, as important as their jobs are, they're a small fraction of the total number of people employed as a result of Broadway productions. Let's talk with Harrison in downtown Los Angeles. I understand you're a freelance gaffer. And so share with us what's going on with you and with your fellow workers.
Basically got a bunch of emails canceling every shoot coming up. Not only that, I do some work at a photo studio as well, and that's getting shut down too. So everything's kind of just closing up shop, which is scary because then I won't have any income.
Yeah. So you're looking at alternative gigs that you can do?
Might sign up for unemployment. I'm not sure if I qualify yet, but I'll have to look into that. If not, I might sign up for Postmates or a ride share.
Just whatever you can. Harrison, I appreciate it. Joshua in Pasadena, you work in feature films. Movie you were working on was shut down?
Yeah, we were shut down. And, you know, the travesty is for a film, which is a one-off thing, we just worry if it's going to come back. It was a $15 million film. And we have some savings. You know, we can't last forever. But, you know, for our family, we just hope that good films get made. And that's really the problem, is that, you know, I don't know if the actors are going to be available when they get back. That's a producer problem. But at the same time, you know, the longer this goes on, we all know the story of movies like Lost in La Mancha, where, you know, things happen and then it doesn't get made. And that's where the greater community suffers, because they don't get to see this little bespoke movie.
Joshua, I so appreciate it. Really good point you raise about smaller budget productions. Michael in Woodland Hills, supervising sound editor on Supernatural from the pilot all the way through now, says even shows that have been shot are scrambling to try and get the post done on it away from the studios. So this is a real, real challenge, as millions of dollars being suspended by not delivering shows that are promised. Andrew, good for us to bring this up, because you can have everything shot, but to get it completed, if the post facility is closed, that's a problem.
Yeah. That said, there is a tremendous amount of remote post work that's going on. I know it's not ideal, but at the very least, technically, it seems to some degree it is possible to finish up shows that have already been shot.
All right. And you can share, by the way, what's going on with you professionally if you work in the entertainment business on our Film Week page at kpecc.org. JF writes on the page, IATSE members must work a required number of hours in a qualifying period to get health insurance. Some may be able to tap into their hour bank, but many won't. Basically, if you don't work, you won't be covered. And he wonders if the union's doing anything to relax or adjust qualifying periods so members don't lose their health benefits. Andrew, is that anything Variety's reported on so far?
Certainly. I mean, you know, the health benefits is a key piece of all this, especially at a time when obviously there's a lot of people hurting out there.
Yeah, and with there being minimums that are required with a number of these unions to be able to qualify for health care, which, of course, is so key. Andrew, you know, going forward here with the uncertainty that's going on in the industry, are there companies that, you know, smaller players here that could financially go under?
Unfortunately, I would expect there will be some of that if it hasn't already. You know, I think another issue to keep in mind here is hopefully we're going to see the industry really reach out to Congress in a big way about some sort of relief package that aids the freelance workplace that obviously is in such a bad place right now. There's all sorts of bailout talks that could help various elements of the industry, including the theater business. The problem is there's so many other industries out there that are having the same conversations with Congress. It's going to take a long time for all of this to play out, but we got to hope some relief is on the way.
Congressman Adam Schiff, the Democrat of Burbank and surrounding communities, is asking that Congress take up financial support for members of the entertainment industry to get them some relief as a result of this. But, of course, with so many industries that are facing challenges, we'll have to see what happens to that legislation. Thank you very much, Andrew Wallenstein of Variety. Appreciate your joining us today.
Anytime.
Andrew Wallenstein is the co-editor-in-chief at the trade publication Variety. We thank you for joining us for Film Week here on 89.3 KPECC. Our program obviously is going to be a little different as we go through this period of protection measures against COVID-19. Our critics will be reviewing some of the most interesting productions that are available on streaming services and on cable television. We'll continue to bring that to you as we can, of course, live events warranting. Have a great weekend as best you can. Stay safe from all of us at Film Week.